Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is truly mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves his people so much. And as I get to know him, I love his people so much. The love of God is amazing to me. A lot of times people miss out on the best parts of life because they don't value it like God values it. The things that the scriptures encourage us to do produces life. The Lord once gave me this visual. It was like a scope. It was like looking at the results of sowing and reaping from his position. He showed me that he designed everything to operate according to what we do in our lives. What you do every day is like a control. You can shape your destiny by what you do now. Your future is bent or shaped by what you do now. Every decision you make has its own future attached to it. When we do the things of life, the results of what we reap is more life. The Lord gave us this example in the beginning. He said, be fruitful. A man eats a peach, he plants a seed, that seed produces a tree, and now millions and millions and millions of peaches will come from that one seed. You love people today, you may say the perfect thing that will help somebody plot their course, and many people will live because it's amazing. We take these things too lightly as a race because our lives are too short to see what we put in motion stays in motion, whether it's good or bad. And yesterday, yesterday's broadcast, and a revelation came to me that Satan don't just tempt us against God. When we don't know how to value life, he tempts us against life itself. And I'm not talking about your lifetime. I'm talking about life. The ability to operate according to the love of God, the wisdom of God's word, the nature of God's word, what God's word produces, the kindness, the strength, everything that pertains to life and godliness, Satan tries to get us to rebel against it. If a man has a thriving family, if he gets into lust, that lust will cause him to separate from the life his attention is drawn against, towards lust, and it will cause him to be an enemy against the life that most people will envy him for. See, when you have a true home, you love your wife, she loves you, you love your children, they love you. It really don't matter what you own. When you have that kind of core, and people they're progressive in love, they're learning about love, you can learn how to love others even more. Some people interpret love wrong. They say, well, that's what causes people to take advantage of me. It's much deeper and greater than that. The life of God is much greater than that. It helps people open the right doors. And see, the deep treasures are activated by the love of God. These are the things I understood in the spirit. when the Lord showed me, from the time he taught me about sowing and reaping. Actually, he called it spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. He showed me from the moment you begin working, a process of sowing is in motion. And this is working towards a process of reaping. But see, most people focus on the financial. They focus on the material, what they're going to get out of it. And they're not looking at what they're producing. See, when you love your children and you're kind and your everyday hard work, it's training. They don't realize how they're training their children. A lot of pastors and a lot of parents, they feel like all their labor is in vain. But see, children are recorders. They record everything. And it gets in their heart. And then they become adults. Sometimes they become old or mature adults in their 40s and 50s before they realize what a treasure their parents really were. They couldn't value it at the time. But when they're older, when they go through the same situations, they realize their parents never gave up on them. They realize their parents always loved them. They realize their parents loved them deeply. They realize that their parents sacrificed just for them. They realize it. And they never said thank you. Not from that knowledge. They said thank you from the knowledge they had, but not from the knowledge that they ended up with. And most parents never hear that kind of thank you. See, when people can be aggravating, they don't always tell it like it is. And their attention is divided. Their attention is divided on so many things of this life. And parents that raise their children, they have their own struggles and problems. And then the children who grow up, they have their own struggles and problems. But they don't realize where they got their strength from until they're much older in many cases. Not every case. Because when people walk in love, you can see better. You can understand things better. I saw a lot of wonderful things because the Lord taught me how to love people. Some things I couldn't put in words right. But see, when a person passes, when they die, then everybody in the family has great compassion on them. And all the wonderful things they did are activated. And then they take a deeper look at their life and how uncommon it was for them to have the kind of victory they really did win. And they didn't give in to the whims of the world. You know, at my mother's funeral, I told the truth. I said, she helped my father in ministry and never complained. And I explained how Dad had to work at U.S. Pipe in North Birmingham. And he had the kind of job where you worked all. When you work, you work. And you came home, you wanted to sit down. Then every weekend, they would go to Utah, Alabama. And he pastored two churches on one Sunday and another one. And just one church on the next Sunday. And then they'd come home and do it all over again. And they did this for years. And never, ever, ever complain. Neither one of them. Now, as an adult, I realized how tough they had to be to do that and not complain. They had to really love God and His will and His people to never complain. And I was around them in the house with them every day. If they would have complained, I would have heard it. Never, ever complain. Never, not once. That was my gift. They gave me a gift doing that. Because what they put in motion, I saw the result. I have vision for what happens when you love God's will. So when I say things, I don't say them lightly. I treasure the pureness of God. I treasure the deep love of God. That's my treasure. That's my pearl of great price. That's what I found. And that kind of love takes people far. That's the kind of love God can work with. That's the kind of love that's steadfast and unmovable and always abounds. That's the kind of love I bumped into and wanted more of. Now, when I met Jesus, that's the kind of love I found. My parents introduced me to him through that. My dad was not very talkative. He was not the most talkative father in the world. I really didn't get to know him until I was grown. But I saw what he did. I saw his love. I saw his kindness. He would come home every day and feed the birds. He was kind to everybody. If somebody did me wrong or did wrong against him, he would handle it right. He was not mean. And he was a boxer. He was a powerful man. He could box. I never got a chance to see him box, but I heard stories about it. He had super reflexes. I wish I would have saw what my nephew saw. He saw my dad take a child's ball, the kind you buy at the grocery store for $1 or $2. It's light. It's about the size of a basketball. You know, they put them in those bins and the children buy them and they bounce all over the house. They're not heavy because they don't want them to tear up anything. And he took that ball and punched it against the wall for about 5 minutes and it never hit the ground. It only touched the wall and his hands, his fist. Now, I tried to do that. I couldn't get it. I couldn't do what he did. But he could control that ball and he punched that ball. And he was about 5 or 6 feet away from the wall while he did it. And it was so amazing. Akia told me about it. And I said, wow, I wish I could have saw him do that. And when I tried to do it, I couldn't get but 3 or 4 licks. But he did it for minutes before it got away. But he did it. He had good reflexes. Now, he was a gentleman. He loved people. Never complained about all the hard work. And it set the pace for me to be able to do what God called me to do. That stamina came from the vision I saw in him and my mother. Now, everything you do, there's a future attached to it. I don't say that lightly. That's the easiest way I know to describe what I saw in the spirit, but I saw much more than that. All of the work that you do, see, every day, for you to deserve the blessing of a paycheck, you have to work 40 hours every day, every week until you turn enough hours and you're trading your time and your energy for money. Now, if you put in and you did it right, you deserve the money. If you loafed on the job and they paid you anyway, you really don't deserve it. But men are not as accurate as God. They can't judge whether you overworked or underworked. They just pay you anyway. And if you do too much of the wrong thing, you'll run them out of business and you won't have a job. But if you put in like you should, you'll help the company make a profit and you'll have a job. And if you do it as under God, God will promote you. whether he promotes you on the job or somewhere else. You cannot lose the reaping of what you sow. And you cannot keep the reaping of what you did not sow. It is impossible. There are people who loaf on the job, they get paid anyway, and then they got their money by the wrong measures, and they always, 100% of the time, lose the value of what they got wrong. Some people get away with it. They look like they got away with it. And the enemy tempt people to do the same thing. They put something in motion that can't be reversed. And then something will happen and they'll have to spend all that money that they got the wrong way on something that they really didn't want to spend it on. It may be an illness. It may be a disaster. They may die before time. They're going to lose the value of what they... God, the kingdom of God is accurate. Very accurate. You're going to get what you deserve. And you're only going to get what you deserve. Now, I'm going to tell you how to become... He also taught me how to become very wealthy. When you are continually working as under God and you're obedient. Now, watch this. The Lord's going to set you... He's going to set you up to prosper in a much greater way. When you take time and you sacrifice and help people that can't help you, it will cause everything to increase. Especially if you work. Now, some people are so lazy they can't get this principle to work right. But if you work unto God on your job and you don't complain and sow discord, and then you take some of your hard-earned money and you help people that can't help you. Especially if you do it at God's guidance. You present the Lord with a certain amount. And Lord, I want to give this offering wherever you want to give it. And the Lord will direct you and you give it and you help people that can't help you. I like to help James Robinson. He helps people that cannot help themselves. He help them dig wells so they have clean drinking water. And other things he do. In St. Jude, you know, when people have terminal illness, those doctors help many children live that would have died. And the parents are not in debt. They fly them up there. You know, you're helping people that can't help you. That's how you get spiritual wealth on your life. This goes far. Your local church that's helping, that's, you know, they're picking up people for Sunday school and they're teaching children the word of God. And they're changing families that change the world. And that's my pastor's vision and my vision because I'm a part of it. When you do those things, you will be, wealth gets on your life. And you don't have, and it's not just the money, it's not just the work, but when you hearing God's word and helping people understand what life really is, when you're living it, people can see it. Even people that won't read the word of God on their own, they can experience the love of God through you. So when I ask the Lord to teach me to love others, there's a lot of challenges in that, but I wanted to do it perfectly. I asked him to teach me to love others so I could love people like he loves people, like he would have me to love people. And when that's true, I do those things, and then the way I respond, the kindness, the true love, unfeigned love. I'm not talking about a fake smile. I'm talking about a real one. Genuine happiness. When people do well, you rejoice with them. When things hurt them, you're concerned about them. You automatically pray for them. You're seeking the Lord on their behalf. When they ask you for wisdom, you give them godly counsel. When other people try to get you to be have animosity against them, you don't do it. See, when people are upset with people, they want you to be just as upset with the person. But people want you to hate who they hate and love who they love. That's just the way, that's the nature of the worldly way. And remember, the world loves its own. The world has love. They just love the wrong thing. And they love their own. They love people who do wrong. They take, you know, they treasure people that are proud like they are. And they hate people that love life. Because the enemy, he persuades them wrong. And when people are persuaded wrong, they act wrong. Then they do wrong. The love of God in us works. Now, when people follow God and they treasure him and they do his word, then God is, he's activated in their life, and he can, more life will increase in their life. Things that they didn't even think about will happen. That's good. And you love it. I love God and I love his word. I love his people. And over time, see, sometimes the Lord he works through us over time. We have measures of success and blessings, and then the people that hear us and the people who learn from us, they grow from glory to glory. And you know, children, you know, foolishness is abounding in the heart of a child, just like the words say. But they watch you live and they grow up. And they and what the life they saw you live as a godly parent gets in their heart. And then when it's time for them to make key decisions, they have the stamina to make the right decision. And they make good decisions. I wanted the kind of marriage my parents had. So a lot of girls that I would have liked, I saw that wasn't going to work. I wasn't going to have that kind of life if I date them or marry them. So I wouldn't even try it. It's important. Your decision process is shaped by the vision you receive. So if you never rebel against life, you will embrace it. And what you sow, you will reap. You will end up with what you deserve. So you can control what you deserve by doing the right thing. But not out of fear, but out of love. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue mightily moving your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.